What you missed on Midday with Howie Lim on Money FM 89.3.
This is Mind Your Business on Money FM 89.3, a segment that looks at the SME sector here in Singapore. I'm Howie Lim. 99% of businesses in Singapore are SMEs. The sector powers half our economy and employs 70% of our workforce. We chat with business leaders, industry experts, and also business owners to get their insight. Today we chat with Sam Neo, who's the founder of People Mentality Inc., a people-first HR advocacy startup that seeks to scale up the HR industry in Singapore through progressive practices and collective growth. Now, PMI, as they're called, marries millennials and HR by creating HR Avengers, an ecosystem of HR professionals and consultants. Through this, collaboration is maximized, improving overall HR efficiency. Sam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So maybe we need to start by explaining that the HR Avengers and that ecosystem, which you say improves HR efficiency.
All right. So essentially what I'm trying to build here is an ecosystem of HR people, HR technology, trainers, facilitators to build an end-to-end suite essentially for companies. So when companies go out, you know, they have this full suite of solutions rather than having to find things bits and pieces, and that provides something that's more targeted per se. Yeah, it's a holistic solution. When we talk about Avengers, it's about everyone, each of us have our different strengths and weaknesses. So let's piece together the A-team per se, the Avengers team, based on the needs of different clients. So that's where it's the beauty of it as well.
Because who are your clients? Business owners or business entities, HR department will come to you for help, so to speak?
Yeah, so okay. Businesses, HRs, yeah, typically.
Why did you decide to do this? Why not
people
just
mentality.
Work at a company's HR department?
Because I think first and foremost, when I started People Mentality, it's really to infuse this people-first mindset in leaders and organizations. And two key things that I was focusing on. One is, of course, the potential HR, where I feel that regardless of industries, the size of companies, right, people is a common denominator. But why is HR not stepping up as a first-tier function to deliver more value? So that's where I see a potential of it, where you can bring to the next level. Second thing, it's really about us as Asians not having a strong voice per se, because often we are looking up to the West, where we talk about the likes of Facebook, Google, where we are taking all the best practices from the West. But why not Asia? Do we not have good practitioners, good practices? Actually, we do.
In the HR department, you
in
mean?
In the HR team, HR okay. space itself. Okay. So that's where it's all about. Yeah.
You feel as though HR practices here not up to scratch?
I would say it's there. To some extent, it's there. I mean, it's a combination. It's still a growing profession. But we do not have a voice. We are not really articulating it that much. And I think
who's not saying things? The HR space or employees?
The HR space.
Okay.
HR space, yeah.
What sort of things are lacking, you feel?
So we talk about a couple of gaps. First and foremost, it's really the SME space, right? Where SMEs do not really know where to find help. So that's where People Mentality is here to actually help them do what we call inside-out branding, where it's not about just the PR or marketing aspect of it, but really it's about building the inside competency of the HR aspect of it, and then using storytelling techniques to brand them as a top employer based on the strength that they have. And the other gap that we're looking at is, of course, the millennial gap. We're talking about millennials coming into the workforce, forming the majority of it soon. So a lot of companies still find it as a challenge, you know, to engage, recruit, and even kind of tap on the full potential. And that's where People Mentality is here, to kind of create a bridge, to debunk the stereotypes, the myths, to help create an understanding to actually enable this multi-generational workforce that we speak about.
You know, as we talk to HR practitioners from time to time here on Mind Your Business, Sam, they often talk about how, especially the ones who have been in the HR landscape for a while, it is the same from generation to generation. People have gripes about that particular generation. When I stepped into the workforce, people had issues with the Generation X. Thereafter, as I started to work, I heard of people having issues with Generation Y and then millennials. This is an age-old issue. Why hasn't HR departments or the HR landscape kept up? I know each generation is different. The approach has to be different, but the change is the constant. One would expect the HR department or the landscape to kind of be used to that.
I would say at this moment, what I observe so far is that people are always taking the safe approach.
Meaning, what's the safe approach?
Safe approach is sticking to what has worked so far. But they often neglect that, for example, what has worked for the Generation X, the baby boomers, might not work for the millennials that's coming in, right? Because most of the time, people think, if it ain't broken, why fix it? But they need to understand that, hey, the new generation is coming in. It's not about giving them everything they want. That's what I always say. But it's about understanding what the core drivers are, what's the change in form, the things that they're looking at, and how do you integrate them into the current system. So often I say, how do you create flexibility within a current system to integrate all these people? Because what has worked can still work to some extent, but some change has to be adapted, you know, to integrate the new workforce. That's what I'm looking at. That's why you're talking about creating flexibility in different pockets. For instance, in the market, it's very common nowadays for bigger companies to have what we call flexible benefits, for instance. Why? Because different generations have different needs, right? The older folks might look at more healthcare, for instance. Younger folks don't really care about health screening. They care more about things like your traveling, your gadgets renewing every year. So such some examples, for instance, to create flexibility within the system itself to cater different needs of the generations and the workforce as a whole.
How can we do this? I am anticipating HR's budget ballooning if we have to cater to so many different sorts of needs.
Actually, it's not so, because it's a fixed budget, but you're looking at creating some flexibility within it. So for example, a company can have, let's say, $500 budget for each employee. And within this $500, you decide what you want to do with the money. So it's also about, back to the core drivers of individual needs, that I usually call it the MAPS, M-A-P-S. M stands for mastery. People want to know that they're good at what they're doing, so you want to constantly develop them. A is autonomy. They want to have a voice to say what they want to do, what they feel has the most impact, which is something like this, right?
Choosing. And this is across the board, you feel?
Your MAPS, I feel it's across the board.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, regards generation. P is purpose, to align what they believe in, what has value to them. And S, which is sense of belonging. They want to feel that they're being taken care of, they're not just another employee, they're actually a part of a bigger family. So this is typically what I say are core drivers of people, but it comes in different intensity and different forms depending on generation and background, so on and so forth.
Because I was going to ask if MAPS can cover everyone, all generations, the XY, boomers and the millennials, why is there a need for a flexible HR policy going on within the HR landscape?
As much as possible, these four are core drivers, yeah, per se. And in fact, MAP itself is adapted from Daniel Pink's Drive, right? And as I came out with something additional to that. But it's the different form that I say. For example, millennials, when they want a voice, they might seem like they're always complaining. Whereas the older generation, to some extent, they might just do the work. And when they have opportunity one-on-one, they might just feedback behind the scenes. So,
if at all, right?
So different form, but it's the same core driver that there's a need to have a voice per se.
Describe to us the mileage system that you have going on.
So this was an incentive program that I came up with one of my companies. But essentially what we're looking at is the concept of incentive-based rewards. Also, gamification, the concept of gamification, about creating competitions, making it fun within organization itself. But often we talk about incentives, right? It's only as good as the perceived value to employees. So back to the point of MAPS, right? We need to understand what are core drivers of different employees. What do they perceive? It's not a real value, the perceived value of it. So that we can have something that we call is high perceived value, yet relatively low cost to organizations. That's the winning combination, I would say.
Millennials, we talk a lot about them. Mm-hmm. 22%, I think, of the resident population here in Singapore will, while entering the workforce, millennials. So this is an important segment. Why do you think it's so important to engage them?
Because like
they
you
will
said,
enter the workforce, regardless of whether you like it or not. Yep. But you need to get their buy-in.
Because essentially, like you rightly pointed out, the percentage is growing. And depends on different researchers. Some say that within the next few years, they'll form 50% of workforce. By 2025, about 70% or so. It varies according to different sources. But the point is, it's going to form majority and more than half, right? So if they're more than half of your workforce, if you're not enabling them, not engaging them effectively, how do you expect your workforce to grow and how do you expect business to grow through your talent? So that's something that people got to start thinking about how to engage them, understand the core drivers that we speak about. Yeah,
we also talked a little bit about no choice. By a certain year, it might be 50%, 70% even at some point too, that will be millennials. They have this reputation though, unfortunately. Flight risk is one of them. Mm-hmm. How do you think PMI is dealing with that reputation of millennials?
One of the key things we are doing, right, is about debunking the stereotypes and creating understanding. So to your point about them job hopping, they're not exactly looking at always job hopping, but they're seeking clarity because they're very purpose-driven. It's something they're seeking clarity perpetually. And for them, by moving different jobs, it's like, hey, is this something that I'm looking at? Maybe this is something that's suitable for me. But after all, they don't have clarity because they don't have someone, you know, there to actually guide them. And that's where I always emphasize people like mentors are important, and having proper coaches along the way, along your career, helps as well. Yeah.
Does the age of the mentor factor? Because in my experience, anecdotally, just me, some of the millennials I've come into contact with might not really want to hear what I have to say.
So it depends. I would say I have mentors who are older. I have mentors who are younger. It's like reverse mentoring as well.
Yeah.
To me, it's really finding sources of inspiration. And a person need not be in your field of work as well. You know, it's really about people that walk the path to some extent who have some ideas about what can you consider. It's about creating options. It's about helping you narrow down your options to best fit what you're looking at and helping you dig deeper inside yourself. I think that's important.
With that in mind, what should businesses be mindful of when they're hiring millennials, Sam?
I think first and foremost, they got to understand what the drivers are, like I keep saying, right? That's important when you talk about recruitment, about engaging them, and then look within themselves to see what do they really have to offer. So that's where I talk about inside-out branding. It's not about telling millennials exactly, hey, this is what you want, this is what you can get from there, but rather what's authentic, what's true that we can really offer you. Because ultimately, what you're offering and what you're trying to recruit is not necessarily the best talent, but the talent that's best for your organization. That's what you want. That's where you find the best fit, you get a retention, you get the best value out of it. So organizations should look internally first to ask themselves, what do I stand for? What can I offer? And then amplify it with storytelling techniques, you know, and then enhance the brand to tell millennials, hey, this is what we can offer. Join us if you think this is best suited for your purpose, this is best suited for your career. And if you can simplify something with stories, make it more relatable on a day-to-day basis, that's where people really believe that, hey, this is something real. It's authentic. Because millennials today, they want authenticity, not only for themselves, but for content that they digest. So storytelling is one way to create a kind of authenticity, that relatability, right? Where as compared to a regular kind of PR corporate video where you watch it and say, this is not really real, this is just a fluff kind of thing. But rather, you want something that's relatable. And that's where storytelling can actually connect with people a lot better.
Practically speaking, what would it look like, say, on a particular business entity's website? We're not talking about once upon a time type of storytelling, right? Mm.
It's about a personal account of how your daily life is, for example. So, for example, for me, HR, what's my daily life like? How do I interact? What are some struggles that I face? It's not always a bed of roses, right? There's some struggles that I have, but these are things that make it more exciting. These are things that also appeal to people because through these struggles, you get a sense of accomplishment as well. So you're trying to make it as real as possible and position in a way that is relatable and you connect with people on an emotional level. That's important.
What about millennials? Maybe they can do a bit of the work too. It always sounds as though the business entity needs to change things so that they can appeal to millennials. Tell a different story, like you keep saying. The HR department needs to roll with the punches. What about millennials as they enter the workforce? Perhaps something they can keep in mind would be?
I would say manage their expectations as well, which is where seeking out mentors is important. Because once you have mentors to help you get clarity, right? You then manage your expectations based on what's real and what you think is essentially the real thing. And that's important because a lot of millennials that I engaged with previously through talent programs, for instance, expectations are sky high. And they expect to come in as manager straight away, for instance. They expect to get high salary straight away. It's like, hey, why is my salary increment not as high as others and things like that? But they fail to recognize that they're still at a learning phase. They haven't reached a stage where they're really contributing, adding value to organizations. So this is something that's important, managing personal expectations. And I think mentors, coaches can play a pivotal role in this sense. Yeah.
Sam Neill is the founder of People Mentality Inc. You can find them at peoplementalityinc.com. That's peoplementalityinc.com. Sam, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.